Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Friday, September the 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. So, good morning, and we've got a great, great morning. I got a super, yesterday was a double bonus with our friend Chris Tomlin. But today, we've got a triple bonus, okay? And I'm just going to leave it right there and hold you in suspense. So let's get going today with our prayer of consecration. Jesus is ready for us. He's just right here, right now, the King and His kingdom. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, this prayer, it stays the same, but it never gets old. And it's amazing that once this prayer kind of gets loaded in your spirit, your life will follow these words. The words we speak and pray create the worlds that we live and inhabit. So let's stay with it. Today's episode is entitled, The Question Jesus Asks the Most. It will surprise you. Our text is Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. We're on chapter 12 today, and you're reading a chapter a day, aren't you? I am. Hear now the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Questions figure prominently in the Gospels. They're everywhere. If you took a count through the four Gospels, you would find upward of 300 questions Jesus asks others. Now, you know, there are something like 183 questions others ask Jesus. And interestingly, he only gives direct answers to three of them. You're going to start noticing them everywhere now. In today's text, we come across Jesus' favorite question. It's the one he asks more than all the others. Did you catch it? "Haven't you read?" He will ask it twice in chapter 12. And another two times before we finish Matthew's gospel. "Have you not read?" That's the question. Jesus reads the scriptures. He loves the word of God. In fact, he is himself the word of God made flesh. Of course, in these texts, Jesus references the Old Testament, as he was himself the emerging and now unfolding, yet unwritten New Testament. Jesus either directly quotes, references, or makes allusion to the Old Testament more than 300 times in the four Gospels. From Moses to Jonah, and from Noah to David, Jesus loves the Word of God. There's also that very interesting reference to Lot's wife. And he wants us to love the Word of God too. It's why he keeps asking, "Have you not read?" Note, though, he doesn't so much want us to become Bible scholars as he wants us to become Bible lovers. He longs for us to love the Word of God like he does. It's interesting. Most of the times, he asks this question. He's talking to people he knows have read the Scriptures quite well, but all wrong. In fact, back in chapter 4, we learned Satan reads Scripture again quite well, but all wrong. The minute you seek to become a master of the text is the minute you will miss the point of the text. And of course, the point of the text is to be mastered by the text. And the only way to be mastered by the text is to read it and practice it. Thank you, Matthew chapter 7, with Jesus. And that's what gospeling is all about. Have you not read? Remember, the goal here is not the oft-cited goal of biblical literacy. No, that's not it. The mark is love for the Word of God. I'll share three helps in the PS today that you won't want to miss. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it is written down in a book. And thank you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. Thank you that we can look at Jesus and see what every word that comes from the mouth of God looks like. Indeed, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I stake my life on the promise of your word. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Our journal prompt today, haven't you read? Have you not read? So have you come to love the Word of God? Or is it still living in a category of duty and discipline? That's okay. Just be honest about it. Are you seeking expertise? Or a deeper experience and expression of the love of God. We'll sing here in a minute, and I told you we've got a triple bonus, and you're going to be joyed to see it. And if I was happy about what we did yesterday, I'm triple happy. I was double happy yesterday. I'm triple happy today. But we're going to sing one of the great hymns, Wonderful Words of Life. I've got to pull my book right now and see if I can quickly find that hymn number. It's number 429 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Some of you have been asking, like, your hymnal doesn't look like mine. This is one of our super special hymnals. It's leather bound. It's got a beautiful cross embossed on it. It's a very soft leather, supple. I'm not going to try to sell it to you. Just wanted to answer the question I've been getting. But I do want you to have a hymnal. Anyway, guys, this is core, what we're dealing with here. We're in chapter 12. We get to Jesus' most favorite question. Have you not read? You know, he kind of assumes that we have read the Bible. He assumes we've read, you know, but a few years back, I was writing a series and I developed this thing I called the Bible Creed. And I just took everything I could find that the Bible actually says about itself. Well, how does the Word of God testify about itself? And I formed it into a little kind of an affirmation of faith. And I'm trying to get that put together for you in a PDF, little poster maybe that you could print off or laminate or frame or just put in a little easel stand at your house just to see it, to affirm it, to declare it. It's a good story behind it. I'll tell you another time. And then in the journals, guys, if you'll notice in the front of these journals that we put out, there is I wrote this thing called the Prayer of Preparation to Open the Word. It's right on the inside cover. And again, it's praying the claims and affirmations that God's Word makes about itself. And I encourage you to pray this every day before you even open the Bible to start reading your chapter of Matthew. There's just no substitute for praying the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, eating the Word of God. Guys, this is our source, the Word and the Spirit, our source, our substance. So often, so much stock is put in our sincerity, which is not nothing. But actually, apart from the Word of God, friends, it's less than nothing. It's about the substance. And I don't know. I'm going to keep calling it out. I'm going to keep calling, not calling you out. I'm calling you up. I'm calling you to level up in your love, in your dedication, in your devotion. Just start saying God's Word every day. Say it out loud. Say it when you get up, when you lie down, when you walk along the road. Post it on your gate. Put it on your doorpost. Bind it to your wrist. Put it on your forehead. This is what the Bible says to do. Can't be overstated. The grass withers, friends, and the flower fades, right? You know what that's saying? Everything that you see is coming to nothing except one thing. And that one thing is becoming everything. The Word of the Lord endures forever. I'm so happy to share that with you today. We stake our lives on the promise of the Word of God written down in this book, and the Word of God become flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right, you ready to sing? Here we go. Triple bonus coming your way. All right, everybody. We have two special guests today with our singing of the hymn, okay? You know my dad here. John David Walt Sr. Of course, I'm John David Walt Jr. And today, I don't know how I was managed to get this done, but we got John David Walt III, who is with us here today to help us sing our hymn. And it's just a kind of a thrilling thing. This is a kind of a father and son operation we got going on here at the Daily Seed Company, which David and I are running here in Gillette, Arkansas. And of course, you know, Dad is a real farmer, planted real seeds all of his life, and he's going to call our hymn today. What are we singing, Dad?
We're singing Standing on the Promises, page 434.
All right, that's number 434 in our seedbed hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. We're going to sing all five verses. We're going to keep the tempo up. We're going to keep the heart full. David, you ready to sing?
Ready.
Ready. All right, here we go. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
What verse?
4. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Last verse.
Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for that. You know, there's nothing like singing the great hymns of the church, and I guess it was yesterday when our old friend Chris Tomlin jumped in here and sang, and he's going to be singing with us over the course of this gospel series. We're going to sing some hymns together. In fact, one of the songs he's going to sing is the oldest hymn in the history of the church that we have recorded. That's something to look forward to. And, of course, we're going to have Dad on here. I'm not sure if it wasn't easy to get David out for our song today, but he did good, didn't he?
He did good.
Well, you know, I got a good father, and my dad had a good father, and I'm trying to be a good father to David Walt over here and my other three children. But, you know, the thing that we all have is a good, good father in God. We have a good, good father.
God, our Father.
That's right. Well, it's time for us to hit the fields today. Get your seeds together, because that good, good father, through his son, wants to beam his life through our hearts to everyone we meet today, everywhere we go. So I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
All right, we'll see you on the field today.